With Montana News, I'm Kevin Trevlin. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox cheered the Trump administration's rollback Thursday of an Obama-era clean water regulation. The 2015 Waters of the United States rule was designed to protect many American wetlands and streams from pollution, but opponents argued it was too restrictive. Fox, a Republican seeking his party's nomination for the 2020 gubernatorial race, joined 13 other states in successfully challenging the rule. David Brooks, executive director of Montana Trout Unlimited, says this is a disappointing turn of events.
It risks the cold, clean waters that are in our headwater streams and wetlands and that our families and our fish and our outdoor recreation depend on.
The Natural Resources Defense Council vows to challenge the administration's action. Developers, property rights advocates, and farmers, however, savored Thursday's announcement. Montana Farm Bureau spokesperson Nicole Rolfe says the 2015 rule was too confusing.
And also, we believe, broadly expanded EPA's jurisdiction far beyond what the Clean Water Act initially authorized them to do.
The Trump administration will now draft its own definition of which waters deserve federal protection. A new rule is expected by winter. An Oregon-based company has received approval to build a 114-turbine wind farm in Montana that would generate enough electricity to power more than 76,000 homes a year. The Billings Gazette reports that Carbon County commissioners approved Pacific Corp's $406 million project last week. Construction is expected to begin this fall. Montana has the country's sixth lowest obesity rate. That's according to a report released today by the nonprofit Trust for America's Health, which says just over 26% of Montana residents are obese compared to the nationwide average of about 30%. Montana State University nutrition expert Carmen Biker-Shanks says that's a testament to state programs promoting nutritious, unprocessed foods in schools and hospitals.
Really, the point is that Montanans are all working together on the issue of obesity to improve Montana's public health, and it's obviously effective because we're so low compared to other states.
That's not to say the picture's entirely rosy in Montana. Biker-Shanks says it's difficult to get fresh fruit and vegetables across the Treasure State's vast rural expanses. As is the case nationwide, Montana's health stats also suffer racial disparities. A state health department report released this year says Native American high school students had a 10% higher obesity rate than white students in 2017. Biker-Shanks.
I think it's really important that we're mindful of those disparities when we read a report like this and focus on eliminating those across Montana to be inclusive of everyone's health.
Obesity rates are significant in part because the disease increases risk of getting type 2 diabetes, heart problems, and many types of cancer. The Trust for America's Health report says obesity increases annual U.S. healthcare costs by $140 billion per year. Montana university leaders have moved forward with creating one application to streamline admissions for all colleges and universities statewide. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports that Montana University system leaders aim to create a process that allows prospective students to apply to any Montana institution with the same application, modeled after the nationwide Common Application Program. Leaders say the system would allow students to get information about financial aid, registration, and credit requirements for each campus. School officials say students currently must fill out separate applications to apply to each institution. Attorney General Tim Fox says Montana is among the states and local governments that have reached a tentative deal with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma in the opioid crisis. Fox said today the settlement would avoid a long legal fight and deliver money more quickly to treat a drug problem that has contributed to 400,000 deaths in the U.S. over two decades. Some states have refused to sign onto the deal, which would put Purdue Pharma into bankruptcy and extract billions of dollars from the company's founders, the Sackler family. Those states argue the deal doesn't do enough to hold the family accountable. Fox warns the push for, quote, a pound of flesh, unquote, from the Sacklers could lead to a fire sale of their assets at reduced value. After not making the cut for the third Democratic Party debate, Governor Steve Bullock is campaigning in Iowa, Corn Cates Carney reports.
On the afternoon before the top 10 Democratic presidential hopefuls debate in Houston, Bullock is scheduled to meet with the former First Lady of Iowa at a brewery to talk with voters. Bullock has qualified for one of the three nationally televised primary debates. He missed Thursday night's stage by not having at least 130,000 unique donors from 20 states and not reaching 2% in qualifying polls. His campaign is concentrating efforts in Iowa, where voters will caucus in early February. The two-term Democratic governor is pitching a moderate message and arguing for his electability with credentials of winning re-election the same year Trump carried Montana by 20 points. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte is urging his peers to grant Little Shell Tribe in Montana federal recognition, Yellowstone Public Radio's Olivia Rheingold reports.
Gianforte, Montana's lone U.S. House representative, is trying to make sure that an amendment to federally recognize the Little Shell Tribe makes it into the final version of the National Defense Act. On Thursday, Gianforte submitted a letter to the House Armed Services Committee asking leadership to keep Little Shell recognition in the legislation as the House and Senate reconcile the differences between their bills. Gianforte wrote, quote, "The Little Shell people have waited long enough. It is time to give them the overdue recognition they deserve," end quote. Congress has granted federal recognition to 23 other tribes since 1960, according to Gianforte. Last fall, he introduced a Little Shell recognition bill. It passed the House in March before failing in the Senate. Now, instead of a standalone bill, he's hoping the must-pass defense bill can carry it across the finish line. It's considered so vital to government operations that it has to be enacted. Congress has passed it for over five decades now. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Rheingold.
Montana's greater sage-grouse population has fallen more than 40% over the past 3 years, mirroring recent declines across the U.S. West for the wide-ranging bird species that federal officials rejected for protections in 2015. State wildlife officials estimate there were about 44,000 ground-dwelling sage-grouse in Montana this spring. That figure is included in a report to be delivered to state lawmakers later this month. Sage-grouse once numbered in the millions but have seen their range, that stretches across portions of 11 states, diminished by oil and gas drilling, wildfires, grazing, and other pressures. Kevin Trevelin, Montana Public Radio.